In Acts chapter 12, where we read for our scripture reading a moment ago, King Herod is going after the church. It's still the early days of the New Testament church in Jerusalem, and he's trying to destroy it. He's trying to stop it. We didn't read it, but in verse 1, the Bible says that King Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. It says in those early verses that he saw that it pleased the people, saw that it pleased the Jews, and therefore he also took Peter and put him in prison. And I want to remind you this morning before I go on that James, the brother of John, and Peter were two of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. You remember Peter was called the rock. He said, Jesus said, upon this rock, not Peter, as some of our Catholic friends think that he was talking about, but the faith that Peter had. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. He called James and John, the two brothers of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, because they were bold in their preaching. And again, they were part of the inner three. When Jesus went in to that room where Jairus' daughter lay dead, and he was going to raise her back to life, he only took with him Peter, James, and John. When he was upon the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured, and Moses and Elijah came, he only had three of his disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he went deeper in the garden to pray that night before he was crucified, he only asked three of his disciples to go deeper into the garden with him. And those three were Peter, James, and John. And just it's not part of my sermon this morning, but I want to remind you, when Satan begins to attack the church, he doesn't go after those that are sitting on the sidelines. When Satan begins to attack the church, he goes after those that are the core. He goes after those that are working and serving and are faithful in their attendance and are giving and are passing out tracts and are telling people about Jesus. Those people that are getting something done. And I mentioned it last Sunday night in my sermon. If you're being attacked, rejoice. In fact, Jesus said, rejoice and be glad because they went after the people that went before you. Like Angie sang this morning, back in the early church, you when you stood for Christ, it meant giving your life many, many times. And when Satan when Satan comes after us, rejoice and be glad because those that went before us did the same thing, and rejoice because it means Satan knows you're doing something. Something's happening. You're making a difference in your Christian life. Now, that's not my message this morning. I just thought I'd throw that in to get started. But I want to preach a message in keeping with Independence Day. Tomorrow's the birthday of our nation. We're 229 years old tomorrow. Tomorrow we celebrate, as we've talked about a couple of times already, our freedom. The freedom that we have in this country. And this morning, I want to talk about a different kind of freedom. The freedom that we can have from sin. And the story that's there in the first few verses of Acts chapter 12 paints a wonderful picture how a sinner can get freedom from the penalty of sin. And so this morning I want to preach on the subject, Peter's jailbreak. Peter's jailbreak. And I want to say that the story that's in this chapter and the picture that it paints applies to every single person that's here. Because every single one of us is a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says in Romans 3:10. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our sin binds us. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And so as a sinner, sin has us in its clutches. We are chained to it like Peter were chained to those two guards. We're in its prison. And just like Peter, we can escape the penalty of that sin. And to paint the picture for you this morning, I want you to notice five things. Number one, I want you to notice that Peter faced certain death. Herod had already killed James. He'd already taken a sword and hacked him to death. You read the history and you see where he was hacked to death. It wasn't a sword through his heart with one swift blow that killed him. He was hacked to death. And Herod, as I mentioned, because it pleased the people, he said, "Hey, I'm going to get another one. I'm going to get Peter." And he arrested Peter and put him in prison. And in verse 4 it says, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Herod made a lot of points with the Jews when he killed James. And he liked the good feeling that they had toward him. And he said, "I'm going to kill Peter. I'm going to please the people. I'm going to kill another of the disciples." And so Peter knew what was coming. I mean, he'd heard about what happened to James. Probably was there when it happened. Probably was a witness to it. And so he knew what was coming. Certain death at the hands of this wicked king. Certain death because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Certain death because he was a leader in the church. And every single sinner faces that same fate, that same judgment. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It says in James 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Not one person in all history has been excused from the penalty of sin. Not one. Not one sinner has been excused. Not one sinner has been exempted. It doesn't matter what our social standing is. It doesn't matter what our economic standing is. It doesn't matter how much education we have. The wages of sin is death for every single sinner, and there will be no escape. There will be no exemption. Just like Peter, every single one of us that's a slave to sin faces certain death. Number two, I want you to notice this. There was nothing that Peter could do to escape. In verse 4, the Bible says, "And when he, Herod, had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartnines of soldiers." Now, a quartnine is a group of four. And so Herod called 16 soldiers and he said, "Look, I've got one prisoner for you to guard. I want you to guard Peter. We're going to put him in jail. We're going to keep him until after the holiday, and then we're going to bring him out and kill him." And back in those days, when you were a soldier and you were entrusted with a prisoner, if that prisoner escaped, it was your life for his. In other words, if you were entrusted, like Herod entrusted these 16 soldiers to guard this prisoner, if that prisoner escaped, it was your life. You paid your life if that prisoner escaped. Now, I don't think the soldiers, the 16 soldiers in this story, were slack. I don't think they were asleep. I think they were alert. I think they understood fully that if Peter escaped, they would pay for it with their life. In fact, I'll be Paul Harvey for a minute and tell you the rest of the story over in, it's not part of my message, but over in verse 19 of this same chapter, Acts chapter 12, these 16 men were put to death because Peter escaped. Now, it wasn't their fault. They stood on guard. They were alert. They did their job. But they couldn't stop the will of God for Peter. And so, from a human standpoint, there was nothing that Peter could do to escape. He was guarded by 16 soldiers. At night, they chained him to two of them. I mean, they had a chain around him and they had a chain around the soldier. His hands and his legs. And besides that, the Bible says that outside the door of the prison, there were more guards. And so from a human standpoint, there was no way that Peter could get out of this fix. There was no way that he could escape. I mean, how do you get chains off when you're chained to two soldiers that are awake? How do you get out of the prison when there's guards outside the door? There was no, from a human perspective, no way that he could get out and escape. Just like for the sinner, there's nothing that we can do from a human standpoint to escape the penalty of sin. We can't be good enough. We can't turn over a new leaf. We can't work our way out of it. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And just like Peter had zero, nil, no chance at all to escape from that prison with his life, so every sinner that's still in the grip of sin has zero, no chance at all to escape the penalty of it. Nothing you can do to escape it. Number three, I want you to notice that the church prayed. We didn't read it, but in verse 5, the Bible says this, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." In other words, the church got together, and without ceasing, without stopping, they had a round-the-clock prayer meeting for Peter. We've been studying prayer on Wednesday night. And the last couple of weeks, we've been studying what the Apostle Paul taught about prayer. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul teaches us about prayer is that the most noble use of prayer is when we pray for somebody else. I mean, we pray for a lot of things. And we pray for different situations, and we pray for health and deliverance for people. And the most noble use that we can make of prayer is to pray for somebody else. And the most noble prayer and the most important prayer that we can pray for somebody else is that they get saved. And it works. It works. I mean, I'm saved today. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I've told you shared my testimony with you before, is because I had a grandma that prayed for me. I've shared with you how sometimes I'd get up early and just sneak around the corner, and I'd listen as she would pray for me and my grandfather and others on her prayer sheet. Prayer changes people. Prayer softens the hearts of people. And probably there's many people here today that are saved today because somebody prayed for you. A mom or a dad or a grandpa or grandma, brother or sister, maybe an aunt or an uncle or just a good friend or church got you on their prayer list and they prayed for you. James says in chapter 5, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And if there are people, listen, again, it's not part of my message this morning, but listen, if there are people in your family that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, you ought to be praying for them. Without ceasing. You ought to take them to God and ask God to save them. The church prayed. I want you to notice, number four, that a light shined in the prison. In verse 7, we read a moment ago, "The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison." And in that light, Peter was given the plan, the way, how to escape. I don't need to remind those that are Christians here today, but if you're not, let me just tell you this truth. The first step to escape the darkness of sin is to see the light. Amen? The first step to escape the darkness of sin, the penalty of sin, is to see the light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In verse 32 of that same chapter, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The only hope that we have to escape the penalty of sin is to see the light of the world. That's the only hope we have. In Acts chapter 12, or chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And the old hymn writer said it best, "The light of the world is Jesus." He said, "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in." Well, I can't wait until I get to heaven. I'm going to one day in the eternity that we have, I'm going to get Peter by himself. I'm going to say, "Peter, what was it like that night in prison when the angel tapped you on the side and woke you up? Tell me. I want to hear it in your own words. I want you to tell me what it was when you got tapped on the side and then you saw that light in the prison. I want to know what it's like. And I think you'll have a thrilling story to tell us. Look, the light of the world is Jesus. And the only hope that we have to get out from under the penalty of sin is to see that light. And then, number five, to follow Him. When the light shined, Peter was shown the way to escape. Here's what the angel said. I mean, here he was. Peter was sleeping between two guards, chained to him. The angel came to him, and a light shone, and the Bible says he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. I think the angels got down there and said, "Okay, come on, Peter, get up." And the Bible says that the angel said, "Hey, gird yourself, put on your shoes, put on your coat, we're leaving." And Peter said, "Hey, you see these chains?" And the angel said, "No problem." And the chains fell off. And Peter said, "Hey, there's a big iron door." The angel said, "No problem." And the door opened by itself. Peter said, "Hey, there's guards outside the door." The angel said, "Hey, those guards are no problem." And they walked out of that prison. You see, he was shown the way to escape. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 7, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus is the way to escape. He's that narrow path. He's that straight gate. He is the only way to get your sins forgiven. When he went to the cross, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning, his body was broken. His blood was shed, not for any sin that he committed. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God who took my sin and your sin, went to the cross, paid for those sins so that we could have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And just like Peter was shown the way, so we are shown the way by this book. When Jesus was talking about heaven to his disciples on the way in the upper room after they had the Last Supper, he said those words, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And one of his disciples asked the question, "Well, how do we get there? We don't know the way." And Jesus said, "Yes, you do. I've been with you all these years. I'm the way. I'm the way." You may be here this morning and you've heard the gospel many, many times. And yet there still may be a question, "Well, how do I get to heaven? How do I get my sins forgiven?" I would tell you this morning, you know the way. Jesus is the way. If you're waiting for a new revelation, there's not going to be one. If you're waiting for a revision of the Bible, you'll get a revision of the Bible, but the way of salvation is not going to change. Stay the same for all eternity. Jesus is the way. If you're here this morning and you haven't decided to take that way to escape the penalty of your sins, would you? All you need to do is to do the same thing that Peter did. "Hey, I'm going to follow the angel. He's going to show me the way to get out of this prison." If you'll follow what it says in this book, you'll see the way to get out of the clutches of sin. You'll see the way to get out from under the penalty of sin. And the way is simple. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the way. Just decide to take Him, to trust Him, to receive Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple. The same simple gospel that's preached here, it's preached back in junior church, it's taught in the nursery, taught in the Sunday school classes. It's a simple, simple story, true story of how to get our sins forgiven, how to get right with you. And I pray this morning, Father, if there's just one person in this room that's never received Christ as their Savior, today would be the day that they decide to Today would be the day that they decide to put aside all the things that they would offer up to you, and today would be the day they decide to trust Jesus and Jesus alone to get them to heaven. Be it man, be it woman, be it boy, be it girl. Be it first time here, second time here, 100th time here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to every single person that doesn't know Jesus. And today would be the day they make the decision for him. Father, speak to other folks that are here that need to make a decision. Maybe some for baptism. Maybe some for church membership. You know what's on our hearts. You know what we need to do. And I pray, Father, that we would be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Bless the invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.